How do we as followers of Jesus make decisions? Every day we are faced with hundreds of, from the moment you get up in the morning till you go to bed. And even then you have choices when you go to bed. And there's, you know, you can divide these up into simple, you know, decisions that you would make, like, you know, what you're going to eat today, what you're going to wear, where you're going to park the car, that type of stuff. But there's also those important decisions, spending time with the Lord. You know, who am I going to marry? You know, my job vocation, you know, where am I going to move to? Those kinds of things. Those are important decisions. So as we talk about this today, I want you to understand that when it comes to making decisions, I don't think God really cares, you know, what color socks we have on today. I think God, it matters what we eat. But I don't think that some of the simple decisions in life, I think they're more important things to talk to the Lord about. I think we have enough going on in our lives to do that. So there's three questions to ask when we make a decision. And I don't know what decisions you're facing today. Maybe you're facing a decision about a move or a job opportunity or marriage, whatever. The first thing is, does this decision agree with the Word of God? That's where it's got to start. Because building my life upon obedience, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24 through 27, he talks about how we build our lives on the very Word of God, obedience to the Word. And a life that is not built upon the Word of God, if I make decisions apart from God's Word, I will always guaranteed make a mistake or I will sin. Guaranteed. And I wonder how many of us, particularly in this day and age, have made decisions about, you know, we want to get more money coming into the house, therefore we begin to sacrifice not only our time with our children, but we begin to sacrifice time with God's people. So, I you know, those are the kind of things when you start thinking about what kind of decision, what should influence my decisions, the Word of God should be the first place you go. Does it square up with the Word of God? I love this passage in Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And it's a powerful thought to think that it's all dark and all I have is a lamp right down here guiding every step. I don't see what's ahead of me. All I see is what I have now. All I see is what I have today. But God's word is a promise that will guide us through difficult times, through every decision that we make. These are the questions that a lot of us, you know, struggle with. Should I marry an unbeliever? 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, absolutely not. Do not marry an unbeliever. Should I support gay marriage? No. It's sin. It's wrong. Should the majority of my friends be non-Christian? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, bad company corrupts good character. You know, gay marriage, the issue there is it's man and woman. That's God's design. Should I support abortion? You know, should I listen and follow the principles of the world? You know, those are a lot of the questions people ask. And the Word of God answers those questions. And that's the standard for our lives. So when Jesus was tempted, and we all will face temptation, he answered each temptation with, it is written. It is written. So does this decision agree with the Word of God? Secondly, does this decision fulfill the law of love? Does this decision fulfill the law of love? I love how God simplifies things. In the Old Testament, we have 613 commands. God reduces everything down to 10 commandments. Very easy to remember because everything goes around those principles. If you really want to reduce it even simpler, God says, love God, love people. Because if I love God, I'm not going to have any other idols before Him. And I love the fact that if every decision I make is based on this principle, your life is never wasted if it's focused on these two commands. I love what Francis Chan says. Do you know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people He has made? So every decision I make, every thing that I do, I need to say, is this decision going to increase love for God and increase love for His people. So whatever decision you're facing today, is it based on the Word of God? Is it based on the law of love? Very important when we make decisions. And the last one, is this decision consistent with God's call on my life? There's many callings in Scripture, but I've reduced them to three, okay? Three major ones. Obviously, the first one is the call to be saved from sin. In 1 Timothy 2, 2:4, it's God's will is that we be saved. We come to know His Son. We come to be forgiven of our sins. Now, is that going to happen? Is everyone going to come to God? No. Because God honors free will. God honors choice. So there's the first calling to be saved, to salvation. Secondly, there's the call to reach the lost. Therefore, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the ends of the age. There's a call to reach the lost. Every believer has that call in their life. But it's this third one that I think is very important for us to grasp today, and I want to focus on. And that's the call to serve God in a vocation. What does God want you to do with your life? What does God want you to do? For we are God's workmanship, and the beautiful word there for workmanship is the word poema, where we get the word poem. You're literally God's poem, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. I love the fact that not only does He prepare good works, He knows what those good works are. And therefore, He prepares each of us to face those good works. He helps us prepare for them. Every person in this room has a calling on your life. Everybody has a call to do good works. Everybody, God knows in advance what those good works are going to be. And He therefore gives you the gifts and the abilities to prepare for those, to do those good works. And you know, the fact of the matter is, we are all in God's army. You know, some people are on the front line, some people are in the rear, some people are supply, you know how the military works. But everybody's important in the endeavor. It's not like God says, well, this person's more important than... No, everyone is important. Because everyone is a part of the bigger plan, the God's story, what He's doing in this world. So I think we have it in mind, you know, in our mind that, you know, if I'm not into full-time ministry, you know, if I'm not a missionary in the jungles of Africa, or if I'm just an ordinary, you know, Christian, then I'm just second rate. And that is the biggest lie. Because every person in this room has destiny marked in their life. Every person in this room has gifts from God. You have a vocation that God has called you to. And what that vocation looks like, you have to figure that out for yourself. But God has called each one of us here to this earth for this time, for this period, for this generation, for such a time as this, for a reason and a purpose. And the saddest thing that people do is they don't listen to God, they don't want to follow God, they don't want to surrender their lives to God, and they miss what God has planned for their lives. This passage from Exodus 31 is, I always love this passage, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning, just to prove to you that God, every position with God is important. You know, whether it's Moses or these guys, Bezalel and Aholiab. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting." See, God called these men to build the tabernacle, to build the Ark of the Covenant. You don't think that was important? That's very important. God gifted these particular men with those particular gifts. He gifts people with songs, with gifts of art, history, all these kinds of things. And they're all for a purpose. You're not an accident, is what I'm trying to say. And the gifts and the talents God has given you are for a purpose. They're to glorify and point people to Him. You know, God calls some people to stay in one place. Some people live in the same city they were born in their whole lives. And that's where God's called them. Because God wants them to be a presence in that community. I think of the Markrams. Powerful presence in this community. Everybody loves them and trusts them. Everybody knows them. You know? He calls others to go overseas. Okay? Some people are missionaries. He calls some to be in specific professions. You know, John's fixing to, already got his law degree. He's going to be a lawyer. But he's going to be a specific kind of lawyer that helps the poor, that helps people out of a bad situation, human trafficking. You know? God's called him to that. And like every one of you in this room, you have your degrees and gifts for a purpose and a reason. Have you ever wondered why you have the gifts you have? It is to point people to the Lord, you know? He calls others to work in factories. I'm a firm believer that it's no accident where you are going to work tomorrow. And it may not be the most joyous place to work, but you are God's representative there. He has called you to that place to be a light where there is darkness. And some people are called to be full-time parents. It really bothers me when people think parenthood is a kind of a minor thing. That is the most important job in the universe, guys. I can't think of a more important job. Moms and dads raising their kids in the Lord. That's the next generation. If we fail to raise our kids in the Lord, there ain't going to be no church in the next generation. So what I'm trying to tell you is that everybody has a vocation. Everybody has a place in God's kingdom. So how do we discover our life's calling or vocation? How do we discover that? Well, if you ever had a chance to read Purpose Driven Life, how many people have ever read Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren? Great book, okay? You don't have it, get it. It's a fantastic book. In there, he talks about how you can discover your life's purpose or calling. And he uses the acronym SHAPE, okay? The word SHAPE. S stands for spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. That's really important to understand, okay? Natural talents are abilities I get from God in my physical DNA when I am born. Spiritual gifts are abilities I get from God in my spiritual DNA when I'm born again, then baptized into Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 tells me that the Holy Spirit determines what each person's gifts will be in the church. There's 21 gifts, spiritual gifts. They all have a function, and that is to edify the body of Christ, to help the body of Christ mature. And each one of us has that. If you've been baptized into Christ, you have a spiritual gift or gifts, okay? So spiritual gifts. Secondly is your heart. When determining what your vocation and calling in life is, the core of your desires, your hopes, your interests, your dreams, your ambitions, your affections, what are you passionate about? You know? How do you know you are serving from your heart? It's when there's enthusiasm and when there's effectiveness that you know that you're serving from your heart. So you know, you know your calling or your vocation involves your spiritual gifts. It involves your heart. Because God, I believe, puts passion in our hearts for certain things. And some people have gifts, areas of passion that I would never have passion for. But I'm glad they have passion for that area, because we need that in the body of Christ. We also have abilities, okay? And this goes back to the idea of talents. Can God use your natural talents? Absolutely. Your gift for music, your gift for singing, your gift for art, your gift for sports, your gift for guns. Some guys in here are you know, Marty, he's really talented with guns. I mean, some people are really gifted in this area. You think that's wasted? Is that just for nothing? Or does God have something in mind or plan for that? And I say absolutely. Absolutely. Personality. It's interesting when you're seeking to discover your calling and your vocation in life, how some people think that only extroverts can be involved in ministry. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. Because I've seen in my own walk, I've seen introverts just as effective, if not more effective, as extroverts are. God uses all kinds of personalities in this room. Wouldn't it be boring if we were all the same? It would be awfully boring. God loves variety. Look at the flowers. Look at the animals. He loves variety. And this church is full of people that have all kinds of personalities. And He can use us all if we'll just say, yes, Lord, whatever You want me to do, I'll do it. And the beautiful thing about it is, proven by DNA, is there is only one you. Aren't you glad of that? There's only one you. And you have been called, and you are living in this generation for a specific purpose and reason. For such a time as this. There are Esthers in this house. There are Lukes. There are Timothys. There are Pauls. It's amazing to think what God is doing in the hearts and lives of every person in this room today. But you're special to Him. You are His workman. You're His poem. And He's prepared you. He is preparing you for a lifetime of service to Him. So I've got it. This last one is experiences. These shape and form you. You know, experiences, I'm talking about family experiences, education, you know, where you've worked, your spiritual experiences, your ministry experiences, even painful ones. You know, God can use all of the experiences that we have and we go through in this life to minister to other people. And who would you want, if you have cancer, who would you want to talk to more than somebody that has just gone through cancer treatment? How God takes our pains and takes, He never wastes a hurt. I like that. I always like that statement. So how do you discover your life's calling? It's by looking at your shape. And so Rick says, you will be most effective when you use your spiritual gifts and abilities in the area of your heart's desire and in a way that best expresses your personality and experiences. The better the fit, the more successful you would be in discovering your vocation and serving the Lord in that vocation. So in making decisions, does the decision agree with the Word of God? Does it fulfill the law of love? Is it consistent with God's call in my life? That's what you need to ask yourself when faced with a decision. And obviously the most important decision you'll ever make is deciding whether or not to follow Jesus Christ. And today, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you say, yes, I know I'm lost, I have sinned against God, and I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of the cross. I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus to save me from my sins. God calls us to repent, to change our ways, to make a 180, and to begin following Him now in our lives. And baptism is where we begin that walk with God, where we are forgiven, born again of the water and the Spirit, where God takes us as we are. He gives you gifts to edify His church. Today, if anyone is interested in talking more about baptism, our elders will be available after service. I will be available. If you want to come up and talk about that, we'll be more than happy to do that. But as we continue to worship now, I want you to think about the most important decision God ever made for you. And that was to send Jesus. And He made it before creation was started. And a God like that, a God that adores me and loves me that much, is a God that is worthy of worship. Amen? Let's worship our King.